we're going to be looking at a number of passages of Scripture, from Ephesians to Matthew to Romans to Hebrews to ultimately we'll finish up in, actually we'll finish up in Genesis. We're taking the Bible backwards today. No, we're not really. But a number of things to share with you this morning as we continue our series that we've been calling When God Shows Up. Would you pray with me as we start this morning? Father, I trust and believe that you're going to speak to our hearts today by your Holy Spirit who dwells within us. And Lord, you're going to teach us from the Word of God. And we're going to come to understand you better. We're going to come to trust you more. We're going to come to love you more. Speak to us, Father. Your servants are listening. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Let's, not sure where we're going to start. Let's just see how it goes, all right? I've got a lot to say as I share this morning. I've tried my best to whittle it down to 2 hours. I'm not sure I can get it in that quick. No, I'm just kidding here. It won't take quite that long. But just want to share with you this morning on the story of the faith of Abraham and fit that into our series of messages that we've been doing on when God shows up, all right? For the Fox family, let me bring you up to speed because we've been doing this series all summer long. What we've been doing is we've gone back into the Scriptures and we're looking at some of the classic stories from the Bible, from the Old and New Testament. For example, David and Goliath, Daniel and the lion's den, okay? Joshua and the city of Jericho, the conquest of Jericho. In the New Testament, we've looked at Bartimaeus, the blind man, whom Jesus did a miracle and it opened his eyes. And we're looking at all of these stories because the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 that all of the Scriptures have been written for us in order to inspire us to hope in God. In other words, the things that we're reading are not promises that God's making that He's always going to do something spectacular and supernatural in our life, but He's wanting us to understand that at any moment, if necessary, He can. Because He's God. And God is awesome. And God can do anything. And so we've been looking at these stories and we've been seeing the possibilities of what God can do. Okay? When God shows up, anything can happen. So we're looking at all of these stories, and today I want to tie it in with Abraham and talk about the faith of Abraham, because as we've studied these Old Testament stories and the New Testament as well, what we found out is that our faith can actually play a role, play a part in what God does in our life. Often it is because He has told us to do something, we have believed and obeyed Him in faith. And then He comes along and fulfills His promise to us because we have shown faith. So what we're seeing there is that our faith can play a role, can play a responsibility in the kinds of things that God can do in our life. So we want to look at Abraham, and the reason we want to look at Abraham is this. The Bible says that Abraham is a man of great faith in the Old Testament. In fact, we're going to look at a couple of examples from his life where he demonstrated great faith in God to do things that only God could do. And we're going to see these examples of him, but here's why we want to look at Abraham. God looks at Abraham and he says, this is the man of faith. This is the man, and I'm counting his faith as righteousness. This man is so faithful that I'm bringing him in. You know, he's mine. And he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at Abraham because when you hear about faith, how many of you understand today that a lot of people think about a lot of different things when they hear about faith? And I'm going to talk about some of the things in just a moment. Some of the things that we misunderstand to be faith that are really not faith. But God says, look at Abraham because he is a man of faith. And when I talk about faith, he's it. He's the man I want you to see. His life is the kind of faith that I want you to follow. I want you to know what faith really looks like. Again, our faith can play a role in the things that God does in our life. Jesus, for example, will say in a number of places in the Gospels, Jesus would say, your faith has made you well. Your faith has saved you. Be it done to you according to your faith. So again, we see that our faith can play a part in the things that God does in our life. We know from Ephesians 2, and we won't take the time to read it this morning. I encourage you to read it, Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. The Bible says that by grace, through faith, we're saved. By grace, through faith. God offers us in grace. He offers us the gift of eternal life. And he says, if you'll just believe in my son Jesus, I'll give you the gift of eternal life. God offers it in grace. We receive it by faith, you see. So faith is playing a part in what God wants to do in our life. And it's important for us to know whether or not we have the genuine article. Because listen, guys, if faith is what saves us, if faith is what gets us into heaven, then we want to be sure when that day comes and we stand before God that we've got the genuine article. We don't want to show up before God on judgment day and not really have faith, because we're going to get turned away. In fact, in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23, Jesus says that very thing. He says, many will say in that day. And I want you to recognize that word many. It's not a rare few that are confused about what faith is. Jesus says, many in that day will be turned away. And I'll have to say it to you, I never knew you. Because they never really came to true Bible saving faith. Let me share with you several things this morning that faith is not. In one of the songs that we sang this morning, it talked about tearing down religion. Faith, brother and sister, is not merely religious activity. What do I mean by that? Listen, just because you've been baptized, just because you've taken communion, just because you come to church, just because you do these things. And by the way, all these are good things. But friend, listen to me. You're not going to heaven just because you do those things. See? You don't earn your way into heaven by doing good religious works. We get to heaven by believing in Jesus. It's as simple as that. So, religion is not faith. This was the problem of the Pharisees. Man, the Pharisees had all of the outward works down cold. They could do all the right things. And Jesus told the crowds, he says, look at those Pharisees. Now, what they're doing is cool, but you better have a better heart than they do, because their heart is full of dead men's bones. And so, religion is not faith. Faith is not merely positive thinking. There's a lot of people that think Christianity is just positive thinking. There have been some famous preachers over the years whose whole message was all about positive thinking. But they were never really positive about Jesus in the way the Bible tells us we need to be positive about Jesus. Now, don't misunderstand again. As Christians, how many of you understand today, as Christians, we ought to be the most positive, the most hopeful people in all the world. Because we're in covenant with God, who can do anything. And so we should be positive always. But faith is not simply positive thinking. Faith, real Bible faith, faith that saves you, is not just about knowing all of those great old stories I told you about earlier. Look, I grew up in church. I was in church every Sunday. My mom and dad made sure that I was in church every week. And I was raised in church, and I knew the stories. I'd heard the stories. I knew what was going on and all those things. But when I was in my early 20s, I realized, in spite of the fact that I had been to church by that time, hundreds, probably thousands of times, nearly thousands of times, because we were in church when the doors were open, man. We were just in church. We had a good case of churchianity. But it didn't really have Christianity, because it didn't really know Jesus in a personal way. And I came to the recognition of that in my early 20s. God opened my eyes to the fact that in spite of my upbringing, in spite of the fact that I had been in church all of my life, I wasn't destined for heaven because I didn't really know Jesus. I knew about him. But look, guys, just because you know about somebody doesn't mean you know somebody. I know about Joe Biden. I know about Donald Trump. I know about Aaron Rodgers. Thank God he's back with the Packers. I know about, I know about all of these guys, but I don't know them. I don't know them. And there are a lot of people that know about Jesus, but don't really know Jesus. The Bible says salvation comes by knowing Him personally, knowing Him intimately. Faith, fourth thing. I need to push along here. Fourth thing faith is not. Faith is not mind over matter denial of reality. There are religions that are set up on that principle. Mind over matter. Mind over matter. Christianity is not that, and faith is not mind over matter. Faith is not denial of reality. Faith is merely the belief in something greater than reality, in someone who is greater than reality. It's faith in the one who created all of reality, and because he created it, can change it in an instant if he wants to. So, we're not talking about denying reality. We're just talking about believing in something greater. Believing in God. Believing in God who spoke the world into existence. If he can speak it into existence, he can change it with a snap of his fingers. You see. Fifth thing. And then we'll get to Abraham a promise. Fifth thing. Faith that saves you is more than just believing in the existence of God. Or even the existence of Jesus. It's more than believing in the existence of the Lord. James actually speaks directly to this point. James says, you believe in God? Big whoop. Even the devil believes in God. You see? And just believing in the existence of God doesn't save you. That's not saving faith. It's coming to believe that Jesus is, in fact, Lord of all. Trusting that God has raised Him from the dead. And surrendering your life to Him. And I think that last point, quite frankly, is where most people today miss Christianity. It's in the surrender of your life. And so many people think because they're going through the motions of Christianity, the religious motions, that they're right with God. When the truth of the matter is, many people, and again, Jesus said it, not Ken, Jesus, many, many will be turned away, believing they have faith when in fact they don't. So here's the point of the message today. I forgot to tell you the point. The point is this. The point is that we need to look. Here's what I want you to do. Every one of us, let's take a look at our own hearts today, okay? Listen, judge your own heart today. Don't judge your wife. Don't judge your husband. Don't judge your children. Don't judge your parents. Let's all of us take a look at our own heart. And let's take a look at the faith of Abraham. And let's see how our faith measures up to the man that God says is an example, even a prototype, the father of all who believe. Because that's what we want. We want to have the same kind of faith that man does. Because that's a man who sees the blessing and favor of God in his life. And for us who put our faith like that in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the place of salvation. Look with me quickly at Romans chapter 4. I've already gone through some of the scriptures I was going to give you, and we're not going to take the time to read it all. But let's look at Romans chapter 4. I want to look at Abraham today and look at a couple of examples of faith in the life of this man who believed God. And I don't have time to read this whole chapter. It all deals with Abraham and his relationship with the Lord. I'm going to pick up in the 18th verse because I'm going to look at just one specific point, an example of faith in his life. And I understand I'm kind of jumping into the middle of a chapter and it's, you know, maybe hard to pick it up. But let me read the passage first. And then I'll go back and explain to you what it's all about, okay? Here we go. Romans chapter 4, verses 18 to 21. Of Abraham, the Apostle Paul writes and says, in hope against hope, he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, as Sarah is his wife. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. So, what's Paul talking about in this passage of Scripture about Abraham? Let me give you the story. When Abraham was 75 years old, God spoke to him. There's hope for some of you old guys. 75 years old, God spoke to him. He says, Abraham, follow me. I'm going to take you to another land. And if you'll be obedient to me, I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to create a great nation by you. You're going to be the father of many children. Now understand from this passage, and of course from the story in Genesis, that when God calls Abraham out, he has no children. They're childless. His wife Sarah is barren. The Bible uses that word, and the implication is they've tried to have kids. This has not been in the cards. And they don't have any children. But God says to Abraham, he says, follow me, come and follow me. And I'm going to make a great nation of you, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to favor you and favor your nation. And the Bible tells us that when God called Abraham to go, Abraham got up and went. No questions, no hesitation, just immediate obedience because he believed God. I don't know about you. When somebody speaks to me and they say, come on, go with me. My first response is usually, go where? And then that's immediately followed by, do what? And how long are we going to be there? And when are we going to come back? And I've got all of these questions, and I'm going to get answers to all of these questions before I do anything. Okay? I've got to have answers before I'm going to move. But Abraham, when God spoke to him, he immediately left his home, left everything, left everybody, and followed after God. That's faith. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that when he left, he had no idea where he's going. God just said, go. And Abraham said, I'm out of here. And he left and followed God. That was an example of faith, of this great man of faith, this man, Abraham. When God called him and promised to make a nation of him again, he was childless. His wife was barren. Look at verse 18 with me again. That's what it means there in verse 18 when it says, in hope, against hope, he believed. And the next verse says that he could look. Listen, verse 19 tells us he didn't deny reality. He looked at himself and he said, man, I'm 100 years old, God. I'm 100 years old. My wife, God bless her, she's been barren all of her life. And she's about 90 years old by this time. And they've had no children. He doesn't deny reality, friends, but look, he believes in something greater than reality. In hope, against hope, he believed. When his situation looked hopeless, he still believed God because he knew God can do anything. After all, he's God. That's why he's God. He can do anything. And so he believed God in spite of the circumstances that he was living in. He had been waiting. He's 100 years old by the time we get to the portion of Scripture we read here about him in Romans chapter 4. He's 100 years old. Remember, he was 75 when God first came to him and said, if you'll follow me, I'll make a great nation out of you. Listen, friends, he's been waiting 25 years for God to fulfill that promise in his life. And he still, at this point, doesn't have any children. 25 years he waited. And he continued to believe throughout all of that time. You know, we live, one of the great blessings of living in the time that we do is almost everything is instant. We've got instant everything. And we've become very used to that. I remember back when Al Gore invented the internet, and you would turn it on, and it would take a few minutes to warm up, and then you would try to sign on to the internet, and you get all of this static noise and all this kind of stuff, and after a minute or two, it finally, the little man pops across the screen, and he says, "Welcome, you've got mail," and then you would try to watch a video. How many of y'all remember videos when the internet first came out? You know what I remember? I remember as a child having a book, and it had 10 pages in it, and all the pictures were very close, and if you fanned through those pages real quick, it made it look like the picture was moving. Well, that's the way the internet videos were when we first started watching the internet and videos on the internet. That was video. And that was wonderful. That was a marvel back in those days. I guarantee you, you won't tolerate that today from your internet service, will you? See, we've gotten used to everything being instant. Everything is immediate. Everything is quick. Everything is when we want it, and by golly, we want it now, don't we? The problem is, guys, God doesn't work on our timetable like that. And the big problem is, Abraham waited 25 years for the promise of God. And most of us can't wait 25 seconds for a prayer to be answered. If it's not answered in 25 seconds, we're already doubting God. Where are you, God? Why didn't you do that, God? What's wrong with you, God? Don't you love me, God? All of these questions and things. And Abraham waited 25 years to see the promise that God wanted to give him. And God gave him the promise because in verse 21, he was fully assured that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Praise the Lord. So, Abraham believed in something greater than the reality that he saw. Listen, when there's a difference between reality and the Word of God, faith chooses the Word of God. Faith. When reality says one thing and God says something different, faith chooses what God says and waits for God to bring it to pass. And true to His Word, God gave barren Sarah and 100-year-old Abraham the promise of a son that he named Isaac. Now, look with me at the book of Hebrews quickly, Hebrews chapter 11, and then we'll get to Genesis 22. And let's look at a second example of the faith of Abraham. Abraham's faith, he gave God immediate obedience. Abraham's faith, he waited on God to prove his promises. In Hebrews chapter 11, and let me read verses 17 to 19, and here's another example of faith by Abraham, and again it has to do with his son Isaac. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, 'In Isaac your descendants shall be called.' He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type." There is no evidence in the Bible that go ahead and look at Genesis 22. We're going to wrap this up. In Genesis chapter 22, and I want to share a larger portion of this particular chapter because it tells the story of Abraham offering Isaac to God. And the amazing thing to me is that when you look at this story in Genesis chapter 22 and you see what Abraham is willing to do where God is concerned and where his son Isaac is concerned, he's willing to offer his son to God, to give him over to the Lord. Believing, the Bible says, that if he does, God will raise him from the dead. God will raise him from the dead. Now, by the time you get to Genesis chapter 22, there is no evidence in the Bible that there's ever been anybody raised from the dead before. And that to me is amazing. That Abraham believes something about God that has never been seen before. No evidence. How many of you know it's a whole lot easier to believe something about God when you've seen him do it before? It's easier to believe something that you've already seen than to believe something you've never seen. And Abraham believes that God is able to raise the dead, even though he's never seen it. Let me read for you from Genesis chapter 22. And let's look at this test that God puts Abraham through. And let's see what it's all about. Because I want to promise you today, let me just say it to you. And if you haven't figured it out by now, here's a little tip. Pro tip. Life is a test. Life is a test. Everything about life is a test. We're being tested in this lifetime so that, and here's why God allows tests in our life. God allows tests so that we can see the true nature of our own heart. Again, the Bible tells us that it is so easy for us to be self-deceived and to think that we are something that we are not, or that we have something that we don't, that we're people of great faith and we think we're awesome, till the test comes and the test proves the real quality of our heart and of our faith. Okay? And so God is going to test Abraham, or rather another way to translate that word, he's going to prove the faith of Abraham by this test. Watch. Genesis chapter 22. Let me just start with verses 1 and 2. Now it came about after these things that God tested or proved Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And Abraham said, Here I am. And he said, Take now your son, your only son. And by the way, this is the little rabbit trail for just a moment, if I might. That phrase, hopefully, if you're a Christian, hopefully that phrase, your only son, rings a bell to you. Okay? You ever heard this scripture? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Speaking of Jesus. Okay? And here's what I want you to see, that this story of Isaac in Genesis 22 is a prophetic picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Isaac is a picture of that, and I'll show you little samples of that as we go through. But I want to see mainly the point of Abraham and his faith and his willingness to offer his son. He says in verse 2, Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So here's God coming to Abraham again. Previously, God had come to Abraham and he says, Abraham, follow me. Come, I'm going to take you somewhere. And Abraham says, I'm out of here. Let's go. So now here comes God again, and God has finally, you gotta see this from Abraham's perspective. Abraham has been promised a son. Now, particularly back in those days, that's a huge deal. We were talking, somebody just in the last day or two about people that have a lot of children, and we make jokes about that these days, about you have a lot of children, so you got a lot of labor workers around the house, right? Well, that was the truth back in the day. You had a bunch of kids so they could work the farm, see? So when you had a son, you know, that means you've got an additional working hand around the farm there. So it's a big deal to have a son, because not only that, but he's going to carry on the family line. You're going to move forward for another generation. So having a son is a big deal. He's waited 25 years for this son. That makes it a bigger deal. This son is one that he values. This son is one that he loves with all of his heart. This son is the thing that is the most precious thing that he's got in all of the world. And God comes to him one day and he says, you know, Isaac, that promised boy I gave you? I want you to take him to the land of Moriah. And I'm going to show you a hill there. And I want you to kill him. Sacrifice him. Give him to me. What do you value in life? What do you treasure? What's the most important thing in the world to you today? Important thing. Important person. Would you give it up for God? Would you give it up for God? Abraham was willing. That's Abraham's faith. God says, take him to a land that I'm going to show you. There's actually, just outside of Jerusalem, there's a ridge of they call them mountains in that area. It's kind of like us in Lynchburg. We call this hill over here, we call it Candler's Mountain. From the backside of it, you can't even tell it's a hill. But we call it a mountain, okay? Well, in the Middle East, in Israel, in that area, any hill, they call it a mountain, okay? So God says, take your son and go to Mount Moriah and sacrifice him there. Just outside of Israel, there is a ridge of hills that are called mountains, and one of those hills is Mount Moriah. And many scholars actually believe, and I don't know how they can possibly prove this, maybe they do, I just haven't read it. Many scholars actually believe that the place where God tells Abraham to take his son Isaac, this Mount Moriah, is actually the same mountain that we would call Calvary, where God sacrificed his son. And I think it's important to see that what God is asking Abraham to do in offering his son to God is a precursor of God offering his son for the whole world when he has him crucified on Mount Calvary. Back to my original point, the faith of Abraham. Look at verse 3 through 8. How do you respond when God says, take the most precious thing in the world to you and offer it to me? Here's how Abraham responded. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. He split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and took in his hand the fire and the knife, so the two of them walked on together. Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father, and he said, here I am, my son, and he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. Abraham arose early. Just as when God called Abraham to leave his home and follow him to a place and he didn't know where he was going, Abraham was willing because he believed in the goodness of God. Can I just tell you today, if God ever calls you to go anywhere, where he takes you is better than where you are, and I don't care where you are. Where he takes you is a better place. And when God called Abraham to go, Abraham obeyed God and said, you got it. And Abraham says to God in this passage of Scripture, when God says, take your son, Abraham gets up and goes early, and he takes his son to Mount Moriah. Abraham is saying this to God. He's saying, God, as much as I love this boy, God, I love you more. And I will do what you have told me to do. And brother and sister, that is the faith and the love of the man Abraham. Not only do Abraham's actions reveal and prove his faith, but his words do too. Look at verse 5 with me. Abraham Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and come back. Look at what he says. He's going to kill that son. He's going to sacrifice that son. How is that son going to come back? The only way he can come back is for God to raise him from the dead. And Abraham believes that's exactly what's going to happen. He's going to kill his son. And even though he has never seen a resurrection from the dead before, he believes that God can do the impossible and God will raise that son. And by the way, if God doesn't raise that son from the dead, if Abraham goes through with what God called him to do and God doesn't raise him from the dead, he's going to make God a liar. Because God said, it is through Abraham I'm going to give you, or I'm sorry, it's through Isaac I'm going to give you a multitude of descendants. If he's dead, he's not giving him any more children. And so he's saying, I believe if I sacrifice my son, God will raise him from the dead so that he can keep his promise and give me a multitude of descendants through my son, Isaac. We will worship and return. Look at verse 6. We see another picture of Isaac as Jesus in verse 6. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac. Isaac is going to carry the wood upon which he's going to be killed, upon which he's going to be sacrificed. How many of you know when Jesus walked to Calvary, he carried a wooden altar, a cross that was the altar upon which he would be sacrificed. Again, faith words in verse 8. Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. God will bring a substitute to be offered for this sacrifice. A substitutionary sacrifice. A lamb. And how many of you know Jesus is God's lamb? Our substitutionary sacrifice. God intervenes in order that we can be forgiven and we can be saved. Look at verse 9. Let me read one more passage. 9 to 14. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on the top of the wood. Now, we're not told in the story how old Isaac is. All we're told is, my translation uses the word lad, several do. Your translation may use the phrase a young man. From my perspective, 25 could be a young man. Heck, 45 could be a young man. So it's hard to say from that phrase young man what we're talking about here. We know that Isaac is at least old enough, big enough, strong enough to carry the wood that's going to be on that altar that he's going to be sacrificed upon. My point is this. Isaac goes willingly to be sacrificed. There's nothing in the story that indicates there's any struggle, that Isaac resists in any way the instruction of Abraham to go to be sacrificed on the altar. And he binds him, and he places him on the altar to be sacrificed. Just as Jesus went willingly to the cross to do his Father's will. Abraham, for his part, is proving again his faith and his love for God. He's willing to sacrifice his son, his most precious gift, the thing that he loves and means more to him than anything in the world. And just about the time, it says in verse 10, Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife and to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And he said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him, for now I know that you fear God, And since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by his thorns, by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, as it is to this day in the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Just as he is ready to plunge the knife into Isaac and to sacrifice him to God, God shows up and God intervenes. And God says through the angel, he says, Abraham, you have proven your faith to me and all of the spiritual universe. Now we know where you stand in your faith toward the Lord. Abraham looks up and he sees the fulfillment of his own prophecy in verse 8, where he prophesied that God would bring a substitutionary lamb. And he sees this ram caught in the thicket by its horns. Up until the time he needed that lamb, he had not seen him. God had been working the whole time to provide that lamb. Here's what I want you to see out of that, the point I want to make out of that. Abraham couldn't see how God was providing. But when the time came and he needed provision, the provision was there. Can I just share with you today, you know, and I don't know what you might be going through in your life today, but I promise you that God is working in ways that you can't see, in a realm that you can't see. And God is working on your behalf to provide the things that you're going to need tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, and for the rest of your life. And just when you need the provision of the Lord, if you'll look up, you'll see what God has provided for you. So this is the faith of Abraham. We've seen immediate obedience because of his faith in the Lord. We've seen that he believes in things that he's never seen before, specifically the resurrection from the dead. He believes in the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God. He believes that whatever God has said, God can do, and God will do if he's made you a promise. He believes in a substitutionary sacrifice, and he loves God more than anything in the world, and he's willing to sacrifice the most precious thing he's got in the world to God because he loves God more. This is the faith and the love of Abraham. My prayer for all of us today is that we, by the Spirit of the Lord, by the choices that we make, can have the same kind of faith toward God that Abraham had. Believe these things. Trust in our Lord. You can read the next passage of Scripture for yourself. When Abraham believed God this way, God added to his life promise and favor and blessing because of his faith. When we walk by faith, God will add to our lives promise, and blessing, and favor. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for men like Abraham and the stories of these men that we can read and look at and learn to know what it is you're looking for out of our lives. Father, I pray today that all of us would take a good hard look at our own heart and our own lives, and we would judge the faith of our heart to see if we measure up to the faith of a man like Abraham. We thank you that we can, and we thank you that we need to, so that we can walk in your favor and your blessing and in your salvation. Help us today, Lord, to have a faith like Abraham that believes that you not only exist, but believes that you are able to fulfill your word, keep your promises, and bring favor to our lives, that you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. Help us, God, to walk in true faith for you and your Son Jesus today and every day. For your glory's sake, we ask it in Jesus' name. Would you stand together with me as we close our service this morning?